This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, When Disaster Strikes. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Ranchers in the bush country of southern Australia all have fire stories to tell. The land can get very dry and very hot. Fires rip through the forests of eucalyptus and gum trees, scorching homes and livestock. And knowing just what to do when a fire is raging can save lives and homes. Ashley Ahern brings us this story.
Charlie Lovick is the fifth generation of Lovicks to raise cows here. His fire story takes place back in 2006. It was a bad year for fires, and the bush was burning 10 miles away from Charlie's ranch.
We had one to our north, and we had one to our south. And the authority was saying, well, it's in the bush, it's no worries. We're saying, no, if it gets in below us on the river system, it'll take us, because it'll change and it'll come through. So fire's a mischievous thing. It works out how to do stuff, I reckon.
Charlie has a grey beard and bright blue eyes with a roguish twinkle. He's lived here in the Hauka Hills all his life, and he knows this land and the unique weather patterns here better than just about anyone.
So, lo and behold, yes, the fire did go south, southwest, and we knew it was coming. You could hear it, and you could see the glow every night. We'd sit around our places and you could see the glow.
Local authorities told Charlie and his family to evacuate. They said if they stayed, no one would come to save them. But he and some of his close friends and neighbors decided to defend their properties. Charlie's ranch sits in a little valley surrounded by forested hills.
Well, the fire hit this high point all the way around here, and all the way around here there was a complete red front coming our way, and we're here by ourselves.
The local authorities left a couple of bulldozers, and Charlie and his neighbors cleared strips of bare land, called fire breaks, around their properties. But they had no idea if that would make a difference. They watched the fire anxiously until nightfall, knowing it could start to move down the hillside and destroy their homes. And then Charlie saw his chance.
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, if I remember. We call the country, got a little bit damp and a little bit doughy, so it wasn't burning so strong. And that was a great opportunity for us to go and set the fire.
What he means is he saw an opportunity to use fire to fight fire. Charlie and his friends and neighbors walked through the forest below the encroaching fire, using torches to light a separate fire. The hope was that their fire would burn up the valley walls and rob the big fire of its fuel. It's called backburning.
But it's got to be done right. If the weather patterns are wrong way, you're going to light a fire and it's going to burn you.
Now, to be clear, Charlie broke the law when he started lighting the forest on fire. But he knew there wasn't time to ask permission.
We had a small window of opportunity, and being bushmen, you grab that straight away. You know. And we waited for the fire to come down off those ranges up there. It got about a third of the way down, and we thought, now, if we don't light this, the fire will beat us, so we need to light it at a particular time so it can burn back and snuff that fire out about halfway down the range. And it worked perfectly.
Did you cheer when you saw that your plan had worked?
Oh, mate, yeah. Well, we knew it was going to work.
Yeah, okay. But that must have been a really cool moment if you could see the fire on the ridgeline and you could see your backburn its job.
And they met. And I think it was the younger people that hadn't seen something like that happen before, they were just amazed how bloody simple it was if you do it the right way at the right time. So it only took an hour, and at 2 o'clock, we were sitting down on the road where we lit it, and we had a couple of cold beers, as you would.